All right, John chapter 4. Now the disciples, you remember, had gone into town to get some lunch for the Lord. And they came back and he's sitting there, standing there at the well, speaking to this Samaritan woman. And they didn't say anything. They didn't really know what was going on. And all of a sudden she runs off, leaves her water pot, runs into town. And the Lord is standing there and he's looking up over the horizon. You can just picture him looking out and towards where she went, towards that town. She went to tell others about Christ. He revealed himself to her. She went to tell people she knew and her loved ones. She went to tell them what Christ had done for her, how she had met the Redeemer. And he's just standing there looking out over that horizon and looking where she went. He knows what's going on. He's working what's going on. He's God in the flesh, and by the Spirit, he's working what's taking place. And he's standing there, and it says, verse 31, "And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, 'Master, eat.'" You see, they brought the lunch back, and he's just standing there not eating. And they said, "Master, eat." But he said to them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Has any man brought him aught to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Our Lord is saying here that his spiritual bread, his purpose, his mission, his charge, or the reason that he was in this earth, was to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And he worded it that way on purpose. He said to do the will of him that sent me, because Christ is sending us. He sends those he calls to preach his word, to preach his gospel. And he's teaching us here something about the charge that he's given to his witnesses as he sends us forth. And so he worded it this way, to do the will of him that sent me. And he's going to teach us some things here about this charge of preaching the gospel and being witnesses of him. This is for each of us. We're all witnesses of Christ. And that's what he's teaching us here. First, he speaks about the urgency of it and the expectation we should always have. He said in verse 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white, all ready to harvest." And then he declares the wages of our labor. There's some reward for our labor. And he declares what those wages are. And he's speaking here of chosen sinners that are brought to faith in him. That's the reward of our labor, to see sinners brought to glorify Christ by his grace. He said, verse 36, "He that reapeth receiveth wages." The wages are those lost sinners called to Christ. He says, "And they gather fruit unto life eternal." That fruit is a spiritually sinner who was spiritually dead, who's gathered to eternal life, made to behold the Redeemer and have eternal life. And then he declares here that there's no competition in his field. There's no competition with his witnesses. He says, verse 36 at the end, and he says, "Both he that soweth and he that reapeth rejoice together." And herein is that saying true, "One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you're entered into their labors." So our Lord's teaching us here that the purpose for which he's called his people to faith in him and left us in this earth is to spread his gospel, preach his gospel, and through that he's going to call out his people. And that's the fruit, that's the wages of this labor, is to see sinners brought to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from their sin. Now first, our spiritual bread, our purpose and our meat, that which we're to be taken up with, is the same as our Lord's was in this regard. He said in verse 34, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, you notice there he says to do the will of him that sent me. Everything that our Savior was doing, God the Father sent him to do it. He's doing the will of the Father. God is just and he will not clear the guilty, and he's full of wrath and he's full of vengeance upon the wicked. And that's how we thought of God, and that's the only way we thought of God when we're dead in our sin. But it's the will of God to reveal to those that he's given to Christ that he's a merciful Father. He's merciful God, and he's our Father, our Heavenly Father. That's his will, and that's what Christ has come to declare. He came to this Samaritan woman, declaring the truth to her, declaring himself to her, because it was the Father's will to make her know that God the Father had a chosen people that he chose by mercy, by his grace. And he sent his son, and we see him here sending Christ to this woman to let her know she's one of them. She's one of those chosen children. And that's how we know. We don't know who the elect are until he sends the gospel and gives faith and brings us to believe him. And he said, Paul said, beloved brethren, knowing your election of God, our gospel didn't come to you in word only. It came to you in power, in the Holy Ghost, and most assurance. And he brings you to believe him. That's the evidence that he's chosen you from before the foundation of the world. And this was the Father's will, that Christ would come and reveal this to his people. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings when he chose us in Christ. It's the Father's will that he's going to make his children know these blessings and have these blessings and come into the realization of these blessings. And so he sent Christ, and his meat, his reward, his rejoicing was to come here to this elect Samaritan woman and to her, these elect Samaritan friends of hers, chosen of God, to bestow these blessings on them and teach them they're chosen children of God. That was his meat. That was his purpose. More than anything he needed physically, that was what he was about. That was his meat. And it was the Father's will to reveal to his people that Christ himself is the righteousness of God. And when you hear that, he's the very righteousness of God. He is as righteous as God, but he's the righteousness that God the Father provided for his people. And the only way we're going to enter into that is when he comes to us in spirit, preaching this gospel in our heart to make us know he went to Calvary and bore the curse we deserved. He makes you know he bore it for those particular sinners the Father gave to him, and he lets you know, he makes you to understand, you're one of them. You're one of them. And that through faith in him, faith that he gives, you have forgiveness, free forgiveness of all your sin. And that's the Father's will. He's not just a just God and a wrathful God. He's a merciful God. He's a God. He's a just God and a Savior. He makes you know he satisfied his justice and his son toward his people, that he might be able to show mercy to us and draw us to himself in mercy. And so that was Christ's will. He finished that work. He redeemed all his people. And here, even before he's gone to the cross, he's going to this Samaritan to teach her who he is, that he's the Christ, and what he, that there's she has free forgiveness through him. That was his meat. The Father, we read over there in Ephesians 1, and this is, I'm just going through Ephesians 1 because there's where it talks a lot about the will of God. This is the will of the Father. Everything Paul said there is the will of the Father. And Christ said, I was sent to do the will of him that sent me and finish that work. And the Father predestinated each one he chose. He predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to bring us to himself, to make us know by the spirit of adoption that we're children of God. And so here Christ comes. This is why he must need go through Samaria. This woman was one that the Father had predestinated to receive the adoption of children. And Christ came to give her that adoption and make her know she's a child of God. That was his purpose. That was what he was in this earth for. And it's the Father's will to make us know the mystery of his will. That in the end, he's going to gather together all of his elect, Jew and Gentile. Not just elect Jews, but Jew and Gentile. And gather us in Christ and bring us to him, because it's the Father's will, it's his good pleasure to give each one of his people an inheritance with him. That's his will. And here this woman is, she's a half Jew and a half Gentile. And so are all these other Samaritans. And he's come to declare to her, teach her, by just revealing himself to her, that it was the Father's will to save an elect number of Jews, elect number of Gentiles, and that he might give us an inheritance with Christ. And so that was his meat, was to do the will of him that sent him, to reveal this good news to his people. And everything that he was sent to do, this was the overall thing in all of this. Paul said over there in Ephesians, it was the Father's will that we should be to the praise of the glory of him who first trusted Christ. We should be praise his glory and give him all the praise and the glory, and that we would be held up as examples and trophies of his glory and what he accomplished by his glory, because he first trusted Christ. And he's going to bring each one that he trusted to Christ, he's going to bring us to trust Christ. And so that was Christ. His Father's will was to teach us that he's the one the Father trusted with all our salvation, everything. And so he came to reveal this. And Christ's meat was to do his will. And he sent the gospel to us, and he gave us the Spirit and faith to believe him, because that was God the Father's will. And this is the only way in every hour, this is the only way we're brought to draw near to our Father and be reconciled to him and call upon him as a father. Paul said in Romans 8:15, you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You've received the spirit of adoption. He doesn't call us to bondage to fear. He gave us the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, because the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. He bears witness with that spirit he put in you that we're children of God and joint heirs with Christ. If children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. This was the Father's will. And so Christ is sent to work all the works, to be the gospel, and to declare the gospel. To declare it. And he said to us in another place, it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And so that's the meat of him. Now, brethren, it's the Father's will for Christ to send you and me who he's called to preach his gospel. This is the Father's will, because it pleased God. It was God's will to save through the foolishness of preaching. And so he was pleased to use earthen vessels that have no power and no ability in us at all. He pleased to use earthen vessels so that all the glory and all the praise goes to him. And so our Lord Jesus is sitting here and he's teaching his disciples, I came to do the will of him that sent me. And he's teaching us through this that he sends us forth to do the will of him that sent us, to depend upon him, to look to him, to trust him, to find everything we need in him. He said, without me, you can do nothing. And we need everything from him. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Look over at John 20 and look at verse 21. Here's why he's telling us this, and here's why what he's teaching us. John 20, verse 21. at the end, he says, John 20:21, he says, as my Father has sent me, even so sent I you. Remember how he said in John 17, them you gave me, I've kept them, and I'm praying for those that shall believe through their word, because he sent them. So he's called us and he's teaching us our meat in this life is not the temporal bread. We have to have the temporal bread. We have to take care of temporal things. But our purpose and our meat and our mission is to do the will of him that sent us. And that will is to declare this glorious good news. And so he teaches us next here, as we look at this, he teaches us the urgency of declaring this good news and the expectation that we should have in declaring it. He says in verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. You know, men, you sow seed in a field, and it's about 4 months you have to wait, and then you start having harvest or seed coming, you know, fruit coming. The Lord says that's not how it is in his vineyard. And it could be, too, that they were, there was like 4 months before till the Passover right here. And they're thinking, well, we're going to wait till everybody gets to Jerusalem, and that way we can preach the gospel to them, and we'll see the harvest then. The Lord said, my kingdom's not like that. It's not like the field, natural field. As soon as he revealed himself to this Samaritan woman and gave her faith to believe him, he said, I am. And she beheld him by faith when he said that to her. He had said, woman, believe me. And she turned around and took off. She left that carnal water pot and she took off and she went straight to town and started telling others about him right then. And he worked faith in them. And they believed. And there's right now, as he's sitting there looking over that horizon, here's this crowd gathering that's coming to him. They believe him because he preached this word to this woman. He had to go to Samaria. I must needs go to Samaria. This is my meat to do the will of him that sent me. And now he sent her and she's gone and declared the word. And here these folks are coming. And I can just see him looking out over that horizon and saying this to his disciples. Don't say 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold. Lift up your eyes and look on the field. They're white already to harvest. The harvest is about to harvest them right here. They're coming. The Lord's teaching us here, brethren, to redeem the time. He's teaching us to redeem the time. The time is short. The time is short. Today is the day of grace. You think about all the people you come in contact with all around you. These are people that they might die today and don't know the Lord. We're debtors. The Lord's given us the gospel and taught us this good news and sent us on this mission to declare the truth to folks. And we're debtors to declare this good news. And today's the day. This is the day of grace. This is the day of grace. Each and every day is a day to sow. It's a day to declare to sinners the person and work of Christ. And we're to sow expecting a harvest. This is why I think we're hesitant sometimes when we have an opportunity to speak. Why we're hesitant is you've received rejection so much and you've heard men reject the gospel so much that it sort of stops you from saying anything. But if you speak it, the Lord just might, he just might bring a harvest. He just might do it. We may reap today where others sowed yesterday. He says here, verse 37, herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you're entered into their labors. We sow today. Today we're reaping what others sowed in the past. And we sow today And others tomorrow will reap what we sow today. That's what he's talking about. The reason the church exists right now, and you think about this, the only reason the church is still in this earth right now and exists is because of the labors of those who preach the truth before us. The reason we exist is because of the labor of those who sowed this gospel before us. And the Lord blessed it to us. And we're the harvest that other men sowed. And in time, others will reap the harvest from our sowing today. And then when you think about individuals, and you speak to individuals, it may be the Lord has sown the seed already in them and sent them your way, and you're going to reap the harvest by preaching the truth to them. But it's the promise to us, brethren, that his word shall not return void. That's the promise. He said, it shall never return unto me void. It shall accomplish the thing whereunto I sent it. Every raindrop that comes, every snowflake that falls, it accomplishes exactly what he sends it to accomplish. And he said, so is my word that goes forth. It never returns void. It shall accomplish the thing whereunto I sent it. And he's promising us here there will be a plentiful harvest in this gospel age. And every single elect child of God shall be called. He purchased them. He bought them. They're going to be called to faith in him. And every single one that he's going to use you to declare this gospel to, he's going to cross your path with them, and you're going to declare the truth to them. And they're going to be the harvest by his grace. He said this, and it's talking about fruitful. He's going to make it fruitful. Over in Leviticus 26:5, he said, obey me. He tells us to believe on Christ, and he sent us forth into all the world to preach the gospel. And he said, lo, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. There's one way. I'm with you always. He's with us. And he said he's going to make it prosperous. He said, your threshing shall reach unto the vintage. Your harvest time, you're going to be harvesting all the way to the vintage of the grapes. And then the vintage is going to reach all the way to sowing time. That's a harvest, brethren. That's just all year long. He's saying you're going to be reaping. You'll eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. He said in Psalm 126:6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It's the picture of harvest happening as soon as the sowing has happened. It's the picture here. You go to the field weeping with your seed, and you sow, and you come again carrying the sheaves, the harvest. That's the picture. That's what he's saying he's going to work. He said in Amos 9:13, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, talking about this gospel age, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. You sow when you're plowing. He said the plowman's going to overtake the reaper when you're reaping the harvest. And the treader of grapes, him that soweth the seed. And the mountains will drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. He's saying it's not going to be in vain. He's saying it's going to be fruitful. And this is the day for that. You see how he's teaching us the urgency is now. Preach the word now, today. Tomorrow, preach it then. He's saying preach it right now. Whenever he puts before you, whatever he brings you in contact with, preach it now. And he said, and here's your expectation. There's going to be a plentiful harvest. A plentiful harvest. And why is that? It's because Christ is the preeminent sower and he's the preeminent reaper. He's the husbandman. The Lord Jesus used somebody to labor to sow seed to us. Aren't you glad they did? Aren't you glad they didn't hold it back? Aren't you glad they did not give you the gospel? And he blessed it and gave you faith and gave you repentance and brought you to him. He brought in the harvest and he gave the increase. Giving you life and faith in him. And now, by Christ, we're laboring. We're laboring to sow the gospel. and send it forth in any way we can and every means that he makes available to us, but especially from the pulpit and as we come in contact with folks that we have our daily dealings with. But he's using us to do it. And he's able to draw his people to the gospel without you even knowing he's doing it. Haven't you seen that happen? People just show up that you didn't know was going to show up. And I think of you, Greg. I was thinking about this. Heard Don preach 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, something like that. And all this roundabout way he had to go through, and then the Lord started showing him something in the Word, and he called Brother Don and he said, "Here's where you need to go," and he showed up one day. The Lord is able to draw his people, and we reap the harvest that of the seed that Brother Don sowed 20 years ago. You see what he's saying? And he blesses the seed sown. He gives the increase, blessing the word in the heart of his child. He adds to the church daily such as should be saved. And he preserves his vineyard. Look over 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 5, Paul said, "Who then is Paul and who's Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe." Just servants, just ministering to you. "Even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one." We're about to see that here in just a minute. They're one. "Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we're laborers together with God." You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. God's husbandry. That's what we're talking about here. He said in Isaiah 60, verse 21, "Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified." The Spirit was upon our Lord Jesus. He anointed him to come forth and preach the gospel, preach deliverance to the captives, and to make this word effectual. And he said that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That's why he chose to save this way. That's why he's telling us this is going to be a plentiful harvest. And he's not only going to plant, send his vessels to sow and bless the word and give the increase and add to the church and bring in his harvest, he's going to keep his vineyard too. He said in Isaiah 27, 2, "In that day sing ye unto her." When you read "in that day," usually, and you read it in the Old Testament, he's talking about this day we live in, this gospel age. "In that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I, the Lord, keep it. I'll water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I'll keep it night and day." We have that promise. We have that assurance. And so lastly, he tells us here now, back in our text at John 4, he tells us we have a reward for our labor. We have a reward. He says in verse 36, "He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gather fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Now, you think about vain religion, that's big business. And the labor, they're laboring for numbers, and because the more numbers means more money. But that's not how God's people, that's not why we're laboring. And that's not what God's preachers and are in the ministry for, to get money. Our treasure is Christ. Our treasure is Christ and his glory. That's our treasure. Christ and his glory. Saving his lost sheep. Seeing Christ glorified in the salvation of his people. That's our treasure. Our Lord said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And you can apply that to to the ministry. You can apply that to what you hear preached. Where a man's heart is, that's where his treasure is going to be. And he said, so take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is the life not more than meat and the body raiment? That's one of the things he teaches us in this text. They bring him physical food. And he said, I have meat to eat you know not of. It's more than just heaping up treasures in this life. And there's things that you have to do without to take the burden off of the brethren so that the gospel can go forth. And whatever we have to give up, it's no sacrifice, because you think about what the reward is here. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest he'll take care of that. But he says, seek first the kingdom of God his righteousness. Now, what's the reward? It's a privilege just to be called to be his witnesses. That's a privilege. To be able to speak a word in his name, or to be used to preach, or to be used to sit and hear his gospel preached and go out and speak it to others. That's a privilege. That's a reward in itself. That's enough of a reward, enough of a wage. What's he mean here? The wage. The wage is those he calls himself. Those that he calls sinners, called to faith in Christ to bring glory and honor to him. What more of a reward could you want than to see sinners brought to him? It's not just, we don't want to just see numbers and see people's name on a church roll. We're not just wanting to go out and try to build a church that's impressive to the world, or like they always talk about planting churches. I want to hear the gospel go forth, and I want to see Christ quicken sinners and call them to life and bring them to him. That's the reward. That's the reward. And he promises his people that reward. Here it is. The joy we have is gathering fruit unto eternal life. You take a lost, spiritually dead sinner hanging over hell and just about to at any time, if he was to die, he's going to hell and he's going to be under the wrath of God for eternity. And the Lord sends the gospel to him and gives him life, eternal life, bringing him to rest in the righteousness of Christ. What more reward could you want? The Lord's done that for some of you with multiple children in your families and multiple of your brethren. What more? That's the greatest reward we could have for preaching the gospel. Paul said, remember, he didn't receive any money from Corinth, and he said, what's my reward? What's my wage? He told Timothy, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's it, that they might be brought to Christ. And look at this last thing. There's no competition between laborers. There's no competition between congregations. He says, both he that soweth and he that reapeth rejoice together. There's rejoicing in this earth, in his church. There's rejoicing in heaven when he brings a sinner to repentance. And there's rejoicing between laborers. There's rejoicing between the laborer and the reaper. Whoever sowed the seed, it may be somebody else that the Lord used to sow and brought them to faith in Christ. We rejoice. I thought about the Lord used you here to sow the seed. And the Lord taught Brother Eric, Brother Kevin, and sent them to other congregations. That wasn't a decrease for us at all. That was an increase. The Lord sent them, and then already through their sowing, the Lord He's given the increase and called others to faith in Christ, to brought them and given them eternal life through their word. Isn't that a great reward to you? Isn't that worth all the sowing is to see that happen? Do we rejoice in that? I rejoice in that. That thrills me. The seed shall be prosperous. The vine shall give her fruit. The ground shall give her increase. The heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. That's the Lord's promise. Why? For we're laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. I pray you'll bless that. Father, we thank you for this privilege that you've given us. Lord, don't let us take for granted what you've done. We ask you to protect your vineyard. We ask you, Lord, to hedge us about. We ask you to keep us constantly renewed by this blessed seed of your word. And Lord, use us as you see fit, as your earthen vessels to preach, to sow this seed. And we ask you to bless it. Ask you to bless it now in the hearts of your people that are here and those that hear this message in other places. And Lord, truly make us willing to give up whatever we have to give up, to take the burden off of our brethren and make it as easy as we can to have the gospel and to hear it and delight in it and send it forth into this world. Make this truly to be our meat. We thank you, Father, for this great privilege and this great honor. We thank you for the great reward you've given in calling out your people. We thank you for that, Lord. We rejoice, and we rejoice with those that minister in other places. What a great blessing and honor. Lord, forgive us of our sin. Forgive us for becoming lukewarm and letting our hands hang down and getting distracted. Lord, keep us looking only to the Redeemer. We beg of you to do that. In his precious name, amen.